Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday. This will be aired on September the 13th. Friday the 13th, by the way.
Good morning.
maybe it'll be the end, and we won't even know it happened. that'll be someday. You know, we'll be gone, and that'll be fun. So we've had Denny Weinberg and his friend from Israel, Eric. Who's been sharing over the last 3 weeks. Last week he finished his.
Fascinating, right?
It's very fascinating and very interesting about, you know, what's really happening in the world. And as we're, you and I are processing this every week, what we suggest to everybody is, and we're going to talk today about the admonition that Jesus tells us, watch for the signs. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the signs, there's descriptions in Scripture of what they are. And that's what we try to do is let's say, okay, what does the Bible say about what's going to happen?
Right.
And then our question is, well, he said it's going to happen. Is it happening? Is this occurring that we're supposed to maybe pay more attention to because it's occurring, you know? So it's kind of fun. What you and I do, and we've always done this, is that we're not taking somebody else's book and saying, I think. Mm-hmm. We're just saying, well, here's what the word says.
Right.
And let's see how we understand that word. And we would encourage everybody to do that. But to pay attention, we're going to continue as we talk about signs. One of the issues is the economy. And all I can say is, and catch us in the weeks ahead, we'll start to bring some real more information about it. But there are things that have been now revealed that shows the economy is really shrinking. Which, by the way, would be the definition of recession. But just a couple facts, and then we'll pick it up, you know, in the future. But we would urge everybody, pay attention and see what the data looks like. But they readjusted. They've been saying that there's been an increase of jobs, like the tune of 200,000 or 300,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And just a few weeks ago, they reversed all that and said, well, that really wasn't true.
Right.
And they took 800,000 and said, nah, it's not, it's, we got to reduce it by 800,000. Well, that's a big number. Mm-hmm. And then the economics of layoffs, unemployment is starting to be now carried out with big companies all over the country.
Right.
And they're a precursor because they kind of know, I think the demand's going to soften. And if it softens, we got to get rid of people now, which is what they're doing, you know. And so the impact personally would be maybe you'd be laid off or something. So anyway, just keep looking at that kind of stuff as we go forward. But as we've been following with Denny and Eric, and we talked about these signs before that Jesus said to pay attention to, one of the signs is all about Israel. And what's happening in Israel, what has happened in Israel, is critical to watch, you know, and it talks about returning as a nation, which we went through. It's talked about the fact that the seat of government is back in Jerusalem, which it is now, with the Jews there. And there is the West Bank and there is Gaza, but basically the land of Israel is under the Jewish rulership. And it was predicted in the Bible, which we went through. What we want to do is look at this interesting thing in the Bible. It talks about one is that Israel's surrounded by enemy. And let's look at that and talk about that. And then and then it said, hey, by the way, God's going to give Israel an exceedingly great army and technological capability to counteract the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll look at that. So let's get into the word a little bit about that. This is about Israel. Again, we've talked about it has returned as a nation. They are in leadership. Let's talk about how they're surrounded by enemies. So go to Psalm 83, 1 through 8. Psalm 83, 1 to 8.
Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has also joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah.
Yeah. Interesting enough, these groups are Arabs. They're anti-God. And so you think of, biblically, Abraham, was promised a son, the promised son. He and Sarah decide, well, it ain't happening, so let's do it ourselves. And they do it with Hagar and have Ishmael. And God says to Abraham and Sarah, by the way, and this is what we've talked a lot about this, about God's will, is he didn't prevent it.
Right.
And a lot of people say, well, if God didn't want it to happen, he would have prevented it. Well, that's really not biblical. They chose not to go to God and process and say, we're struggling with the fact that it isn't happening. Could you help process that with us? They didn't do that. They just said,
instead they took it in their own hands.
Let's go do. And they did. And they have Ishmael. Well, Ishmael was told then by God, no, that's not him. Not matter of fact, you have to basically remove him from your family because Isaac is the chosen one. Isaac is the promised son. And by the way, it'll be miraculous, which it was. And you have to cast out Ishmael. Well, Ishmael becomes an enemy of Isaac. And by the way, then Jacob and Esau, and Esau joins Ishmael. And it's the beginning, the genesis of Arabs who are believing that they should be chosen. They actually call themselves the chosen one, and that the Jews are the ones that are wrong. And they're the ones that are right, and there's a specific goal of of the Quran, and it's to eliminate infidels, and they consider Israel the biggest infidel there is. So they're against them. Now this is interesting. Go back and read 2, 3, and 4, and just everybody listen to this. And then think about what is being spoken today in 2024. Go ahead.
They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more.
Okay.
For they have
That's good.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So, and by the way, they form a confederacy. Which was what you were going to read there. So, now remember, in the Muslim world, there's different, tribes or sects, S-E-C-T-S, sects. There's the Sunni,
Mm-hmm.
The Sunni is Saudi Arabia, you know, Jordan, Egypt. They are not, they don't, they're not the purest relative to the Quran. They're Muslim, and they don't, you know, they would say, I don't reject the Quran, but they also don't take its admonition that we have to kill infidels.
Mm-hmm.
They're cooperating with the United States, with Israel, et cetera. Well, the other sect is Shiites.
Mm-hmm.
They would be considered the extremist, and their goal, and they state it, and by the way, I would just go back, if you want to look it up on the internet, and just look up, say, over the last 2 months, what has Iran said, and what has Hamas said, what has Hezbollah said about Israel?
Mm.
Okay,
yeah.
here's what they say. Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. That's what they say.
Oh, wow.
And what God said is going to be done is actually in 2024 being set by enemy around them. And it's mm-hmm. not to, we'd like to just conquer their land. It's rather, we want to eliminate them, and they say this, off the face of the earth, so that there's no Israel mm-hmm. at all. We don't want them to exist, and our mission is to eliminate them. Okay, so think about carrying out that mission. Number one, October 7th, 2023,
mm-hmm.
Hamas, which is in Gaza, which is the southern border between Egypt and Israel, had a major attack and killed 1,500 people and took hostages. And they took civilians and killed civilians. And they started with a goal of eliminating Israel. They thought that they could draw them into a war. And my guess is that they thought Iran and Hezbollah would join them at that same moment, and let's all come together. I believe that they were thinking that was going to happen, but it certainly didn't happen. Well, they came and said, we're going to attack them. Okay, Hamas, which has caused, you know, a big war there, and they've, you know, Israel has come against them. We'll talk about that. Hezbollah has been attacking from the north, and as Denny showed us, they set fire to almost the entire northern border. And then they were getting ready. This is funny. They were getting ready to launch a barrage of thousands of missiles into cities in northern Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Israel knew about it. And they knew where they were, getting ready to do that. And they sent in hundreds of jets with missiles and just destroyed it all.
Wow.
This is just last week.
Okay.
Last week when we're taping this, so now by the time this airs, it'll be like three or four or five weeks. But interesting enough, and we'll talk to Denny about this, is why didn't Hezbollah then, based upon that attack by Israel,
mm-hmm.
Counteract it with another big attack? They didn't do anything. So that's an interesting thing, like how come,
mm-hmm.
and I think we'll see this. And then Iran has been saying, get ready, we're going to attack Israel completely. I remember the United States was saying, you know, we got to get ready for this, looks like it's a big deal. And they haven't done anything either.
Mm-hmm.
So our big question is, and we'll see this biblically, well, why don't they? Well, there's a reason for that, you know, because of what God has done. But one thing he predicted is that they're going to have an enemy. This is why the return of Israel is so critical. So think of 2,000 years. Remember when Israel stopped being a nation in 70 AD.
Okay.
And that's when Rome had, in a sense, coexisted with Israel. So,
right.
So they operated as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way the Romans operated, which was always interesting, and they were called, by the way, this is this interesting term, benevolent dictator.
Hmm.
And what they would do is they'd conquer you. And like, for example, when they conquered Israel, it wasn't really by force, because they just said, if you let us rule you,
mm-hmm.
We won't destroy you.
Right.
And they said, okay.
Right.
You can destroy us, so we'll accept that. And so they operated as a country under Roman rule. And that's why, by the way, and this explains a lot. Think about, I remember at Christ's crucifixion,
mm-hmm.
they have to take him to Pilate.
Right.
Why? Well, he's the Roman governor.
Mm-hmm.
He rules the whole area. And they have to take him to Pilate, who reports back to Rome, because it's under Roman mm-hmm. rule. What does Pilate do?
I don't want some of this mess. Come on.
You guys take care of it. And he sends them to Herod, who's the Jewish leader of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Herod reports to Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
So Herod doesn't rule by himself. He rules under the leadership of Pilate, because right. that's how it worked. And of course, Herod, all he cared about was, do some tricks for me. And Jesus didn't even say anything. And then he's, heck with it. Just go back to Pilate, let him deal with it. But in 70 AD, they were, a lot of it because of Christianity, but Rome was concerned that the Jews were getting stronger
mm-hmm.
and maybe would overthrow that area. So they went in with military force, and they just basically took over. And that's when, I think you've been to Masada, right? In
no.
Israel? Oh, you haven't been there. That's right.
Haven't
been there yet. We got to go there. Anyway, Masada was, captured. They destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, and laid it waste. And they stopped allowing the Jews, Israel, to be functioning as a country.
Mm-hmm.
You're just now Roman, period. You're not Jewish anymore. You're not Israeli. And what happened? It's called the Great Diaspora. And
mm-hmm.
The Jews fled Israel,
right.
never again, until recently, to occupy and ever be a nation again. They were no longer a nation.
Mm.
And they spread throughout Europe, and ultimately, after, and this is, I'm kind of given a few pieces of good information, but Columbus, who was sponsored by, Spain, and they had already said, we're kicking all the Jews out of Spain.
Oh, wow.
And Columbus was going to get his expedition. And guess who funded him? Jews.
Mm.
We're gonna fund you. Yeah, go.
We may need somewhere to go.
Go find us a new place, and he did, and so the Jews, a lot of the Jews came to America, mm-hmm. but they were all through Europe, but they were never a nation. And by the way, one of the things, and we've talked about this before, they were never allowed to own property.
Right.
So. They became the bankers because they never went through the ups and downs of real estate, mm-hmm. and they just collected
money.
Were
they not allowed to own property from biblical mandate or from social mandate, cultural mandate?
It was just nation after nation after nation said, because mm-hmm. They knew something, and this it's a little bit biblical in this way. Think about Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
They were slaves in Egypt.
Right.
What was Pharaoh's greatest fear? That they would form up and overtake him.
Mm.
Why?
Okay.
Because they multiplied.
There were a lot of them.
A lot
yes.
of them. And they stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
They always stuck together. And there, so there was a fear. If we let them settle, they're gonna own property. They're going to get bigger, and they could take us over because of how competent they are. So it was more out of fear. And they, it became, you know, kind of universal, but they became bankers and they made a lot of money on both sides of it. Obviously came to America. So they weren't a nation. So if you look at the scripture, you know, did it apply once? Yes. It did apply once when Christ, you know, had come and they came and said, let's eliminate them. Now, interesting enough, it didn't apply purely because this is describing Arab nations.
Mm-hmm.
When Israel was conquered in 70 AD, it was Rome.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was not a consortium of all these different peoples. It was just the Romans who...
So this saw more mirrors today. Environment
exactly.
Than then.
Exactly. Yeah. So even then, even though they were surrounded and yes, the goal was to eliminate them, it wasn't a consortium of Arabs that did it. Mm-hmm. It was Romans who would be called, you know, European.
Right.
They didn't have any Arab lineage at all. But now when we look at this verse, these are all Arabs. And guess who's saying it? Arabs. Okay. Why? Israel came back as a nation. In other words,
right.
This couldn't be true if Israel hadn't become a nation. There'd be nothing to come against. But now it's a nation. Well, now that it's a nation, these verses now start to make sense. Okay, let's go to, we said Psalm 83. Go to Ezekiel chapter 35. Read verses 5 to 10. Ezekiel 35, sure. 5 to 10.
Says, because you have had an ancient hatred and have shed blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, when their iniquity came to an end, therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue you. Thus I will make Mount Seir most desolate and cut off from it the one who leaves and the one who returns. And I will fill its mountains with the slain. On your hills and in your valleys and in all your ravines, those who are slain by the sword shall fall. I will make you perpetually desolate, and your cities shall be uninhabited. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, because you have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them, although the Lord was there.
Yeah. And he says, you know, I'm gonna take care of you. Okay, so... he's saying, yeah, you got a big enemy. They're going to come against you. And he says, I'm going to prepare you for blood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fill, your mountains and your valleys with the slain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that remind you of anything? Relative to the end. What happens?
Oh, just the picture of the Battle of Armageddon and everything,
okay.
Too, right?
The Battle of Armageddon. Mm-hmm. And it repeats, and this is in Revelation, it repeats this, the valleys and the mountains will be filled with blood.
Mm.
And he says the bodies, and there's 200 million of them, are laid slain, and it stacks up 10 feet high, and it's just a sea of blood of God killing them all at the Battle of Armageddon. So what we see here is one, is there an enemy? Yep.
Yes.
And what's that enemy want to do? Eliminate him.
Mm-hmm.
So... we see it verbally now from Iran, from the Shiites, Hezbollah, mm-hmm. Iran, Turkey, Syria, Hamas. They speak this openly.
Mm-hmm.
We want to eliminate Israel. Why? Well, because Israel's a nation, and we're coming against them to eliminate it. And it's Arabs. It talks about in the Bible, it's Arabs. Same thing here. Then he says, God says, because of your success and who you are, you're going to have a people that's going to come purposely and gather to eliminate you.
Mm-hmm.
And he describes the outcome of that is what they're going to become desolate because I'm going to defeat them in a sea of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, and we'll go, you know, as we go forward, we'll read about the Battle of Armageddon. But when you read it, you'll be surprised how equivalent it is to this verse.
Wow. Very interesting. Okay.
And so God says, you know, again, watch the signs of Israel not only is returned as a nation. So that's one big thing. But then he talks about that another key sign is that you've got a group of people around you that intent is to eliminate you.
Right.
And we today can say,
we see that, right?
That's true today. Mm-hmm. And then he describes ultimately it's going to wind up in the Battle of Armageddon because of this enemy that's trying to eliminate him. By the way, again, I would urge everybody to go back and listen to the last three Fridays with Eric. But I don't know if you remember when we just said, tell us about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he talked about was, I was a student at the University of California.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized anti-Semitism.
For the first time,
for
really,
the first
right?
time, and it triggered something in me. I hadn't understood that. I hadn't even participated. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, this is a big deal.
This is real, yeah.
And anti-Semitism is getting stronger and stronger and stronger because of what's going to happen. Enemy. Now, back up one step. The real enemy is Satan.
Mm-hmm.
The real enemy is a demonic, is principalities and powers. This is because of Israel, they're fighting for supremacy on the earth. And Satan's goal is if I can eliminate the Holy Spirit from operating on earth, which, by the way, is why he's, and we'll talk about this, we're going to talk about that the weakness of the church at the end gets more and more and more because the power of the Holy Spirit gets less and less and less. So he's trying to eliminate it. I do believe, because he does understand things, that there's going to be a rapture at some point where the people with the Holy Spirit are taken out, and all that leaves is Israel. And the real enemy against Israel is the demonic. Which is why at the end, it's like, we got to get eliminated. If we can just eliminate him and the Antichrist is part of it, then we will have supremacy on earth, which is what Satan still thinks he can do. So the enemy is at two different levels. Yep, it's the Arabs. We see that physically. But remember, it's a spiritual thing too.
Right.
That's occurring. And God says, you know, it's not gonna make it. And we'll get into that next time as we talk about well, God, if there's a big enemy and they want to eliminate him, what do you have to say about that?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll let you know. You know, and we can see that too. You know, so it'll be fun. So,
right.
Keep looking at understanding Israel. Look at what is happening, what is being said, and recognize that Israel is the center of where it all happens. And our role is to both support Israel, but also to understand the truth of that and watch it. And then God says, as you see that, the implication to us would be, well, you know what? Maybe this is headed toward the right this time. If it is, it ought to stimulate us to say, well, Father, what would you say to us?
Right.
Because if we're going to be part of this, what does that mean? And that's the purpose of the signs, by the way. It's not just, well, that's nice. It's nice that we're learning about Israel and isn't that great? And, you know, and basically a lot of people said, that's interesting, but so what? The so what is, since they're part of the sign, it should cause us to say, well, Father, we need to know something then. Help us understand mm-hmm. it for us. So we would pray this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of what we see here, that Israel has an enemy. It's an Arab enemy. They want to wipe them off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. We see it. We hear it. And we know that this is a sign. And so we would say, what would you have us understand for us? And how do we react to that? And what do we do in our life to understand? And why? That's why Kathy and I are so wanting mm-hmm. to just keep portraying that it's an important moment in life, even if it's just a very high instability time. We are to pay attention. And so we praise you and we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich. Always so interesting and just such a good call to pay attention, yeah. you know. And God is at work. And so we continue to join his work and pray and just remembering that what he says is true and will occur. And so just staying in dialogue with him on yep. this as well. Yep. Just so important. So yep. thanks for bringing it all to light. And if you have questions about today's podcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. We'd love to talk about it. Yep. Have a great day. We'll yep. see you next time.
See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.